count your many blessings. One of my favorite hymns, and the part that I like most in one of the stanzas is, count your blessings, angel will attend. And the reason why angels have to attend, you can't count it all by yourself. You need angelic help if you're going to even try to count your blessings. Because if you're feeling cold, you probably, it's possible you might be alive. So that's the next blessing. If you're feeling cold, you're alive at least. You don't believe me, there are a lot of people over at the morgue and they don't know. They don't even know they're there. So if you feel cold, it's a blessing. It's good to be back here with you at Good Tidings again. And we can just say Happy New Year to everybody. Since it's the first time we're meeting since this year. The year just started and it's already old. 1 month is gone. Gone. And you wonder, where did the month of January go? Considering things are frozen here in New York. But clearly time is not frozen. It keeps going. I'm here to introduce a series that we will continue on Tuesday evenings on Zoom on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. You'll be surprised how many things we misunderstand about Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. You'll be surprised when we turn to the chapter, Acts chapter 2, and begin to read the things that you have missed. Even though it's right there in the text, it's my job to slow you down and walk you through them and to give you some reasons why it's the birthday of the church. The day of Pentecost was the day the church was born. And God used that Jewish celebration to introduce the church that is universal. So let us begin some reading here from Acts chapter 2. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? We are going to be looking at verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. I think that's a repeat. And they were all full, others mocking, saying they are all full of new wine. That's how they looked at it from the human standpoint. I admit this is a long chapter. We stop there for the sake of time, but your assignment is to read it at home while we are doing our studies here. Pentecost. What was Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Well, first, Pentecost was a Jewish pilgrim feast. All Jewish males living within 20 miles were mandated to attend that pilgrim feast. For some of us, is the first you perhaps observing that Pentecost only men attended the feast. No woman in attendance. Women accompanied them, but what they stay on the outskirts and take care of the family. You know you can't leave men alone for long. need help. And as a result, so they were not attending the function. Because Pentecost is one of the three festival where every male over 20 years have to attend. Okay? If you live outside Jerusalem, then you would journey in with your family. That's why it's called a pilgrim feast. You travel to attend this feast. I found it very interesting. However, Pentecost became the most popular of the three pilgrim feasts. Well attended. Jews take the opportunity to bring their family to introduce them to Jerusalem, especially newborn and young men are introduced. And that's why it would go over 1 week celebration. This is vital information when you're reading the book of Acts as to why people needed to donate land and for them to sell it. Because what happened on this particular feast of Pentecost, something strange happened. We're going to be looking at that. The coming of the Holy Spirit. And that changed not only the residents of Jerusalem, but the visitors. The Jews, devout men, we are told that, and proselytes. Proselytes are Gentile converts who have adopted Judaism as their way of worship. So they would come, plan, prepare to spend, say, 10 days. Okay? 7 with the feast and 3 just to expose their friends to Jerusalem, etc. Then this thing happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came. This is a newfound faith, because that's why they're asking the question, what does this mean? This unprecedented. So here's an economic crisis now. Those from outer town needed to extend their stay so they can be taught by the apostles. But they didn't bring sufficient money for more than 10 days. That's why it becomes an economic crisis in the new found church in Jerusalem. But the Spirit of God had something very interesting to get done. We're going to see how all this is going to unfold. The Spirit of God burdened residents in Jerusalem who owned the property to liquidate it and give the money to the apostles so they can come and take care of the visitors so they can be properly taught. We have to understand that. That's an amazing occurrence, what the Spirit of God did. But when you understand that they were in one accord, in one place, and the Spirit of God came and made his presence permanent through the indwelling of the church. Not too difficult to comprehend that the Spirit can touch the heart of people to be generous and to give, and they did. Now, later on you'll read about Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they were faking what the Spirit was doing. That's dangerous. That's, you're living dangerous. When the Spirit of God is doing something unprecedented, moving in the hearts of people, and you fake that, well, we know what happened to both of them. God is still disciplining in his church. I mean, the church is a serious thing. It's a serious place. That which he purchased with his own life blood. If you want to play games, there's a park outside. Church is not a good, not a play field. We have to treat these things seriously. So the proselytes then were Gentiles who have adopted Judaism as their religion. So they came with the Jews as they came back to this new found faith. It's going to get better. So according to Deuteronomy 16:16, you should be able to remember that. Three times a year, all males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. That's very interesting to observe what that means. Because not necessarily your wallet is talking about here. But the Feast of Weeks, sometimes called the Feast of Pentecost. I have different names for them here. Let me give you some names for it so we are on the same page. Pentecost was sometimes called the Festival of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. I like the last one because you have to bring something. Something from your field. Something from your flock. I remember this vividly in the Caribbean. We used to attend an Anglican church and they have the annual harvest. That was serious thing. Me, I saw some sugar cane that I've only seen once in my life. No, huge. And the farmers would preserve it and reserve it to take to harvest. If you have flock, they would identify one of the animals. This one is going to harvest. Those who do farming in the produce, they selected that. It was a wonderful thing as far as I'm concerned in the community. To see people bringing their best and giving it to the Lord. And then the Monday, normally harvest would be on a Sunday. And the Monday they would sell the produce. Liquidate that to people. But that was festival. Literally celebrating evidence of God's goodness. That's why everybody must have something to bring. Don't tell me that God has treated you for the past year that you don't have something to bring. That's the idea. Because it was a time of celebration. Serious, serious celebration. I'm still seeing some of those stuff. But they don't do it anymore in most churches, at least not here. So the Feast of Harvest, God has been good to us, is the idea. So you would bring something that's the evidence of God's goodness. And another thing about harvest, whatever you bring was never all that God has provided. It's just a portion, a very small portion. So when you bring it and you present it before the Lord, you are saying, there is more. This is nothing. There is more. There is more. Neighbors helping neighbors, friends helping friends, and all that. It was just time to be generous and to celebrate that God has been with us. And I think if you are here, that's one of your blessings. The fact that you're alive. The Feast of Pentecost was calculated to be celebrated 50 days after the Feast of Passover. Now, I hope at least in your mind you're making some link here, because 50 days before this was the time when the Passover lamb was slain. For us, Jesus was that Passover lamb. And that rock and shocked Jerusalem. So much so that some of the pilgrims on their way back home to their homeland, they are the ones Dr. Luke tells us about on the road to Emmaus. They are leaving this feast of unleavened bread or Passover. And what were they talking about? Jesus pulled up beside them unawares. And they're talking, and Jesus said to them, "What things?" One of them said to Jesus, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You haven't read the Jerusalem Chronicles. You don't see the headline news about Jesus of Nazareth. And we were thinking, hoping he would be the one to restore Israel. But then he was murdered. And then again, to add kerosene oil to the fire, some of the sisters said they saw him, that he's raised." That's Luke chapter 4. Now remember, it's Dr. Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And it's Dr. Luke who wrote Acts. There's a connection. How Luke ends and how the Acts of the Apostles begin. There's a connection to the story there. So some shocking things going on here. 50 days after Passover, which is 7 times 7, you read that in the Old Testament, you get 49 days, and then on the 50th, that's Pentecost, the feast of weeks, or the festival. They're celebrating that. So if you're thinking that the death of Jesus shook Jerusalem, followed by news that he's raised from the dead, followed that the Spirit has arrived, you have to understand the culture of what's going on in that area there to really appreciate the rest of the book of Acts. A whole lot of roller coaster ride in just two chapters, the first two chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. But let's continue, because this is just introduction. God sovereignly, only God can do this, God sovereignly arranged not only the Passover, where the Passover lamb was slain, Jesus died, and that he was raised from the dead, walking on the road to Emmaus with those guys. Later on, he's going to open the eyes, he's going to open the scriptures, and he's going to open the understanding. Three great openings in that 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And all of a sudden, something else is going to happen too. Jesus is going to disappear. Ye men of Galilee, why stand gazing? This same Jesus that you have seen taken away from you shall come in like manner. None of us should allow anybody to fake Jesus and to say that they are the Messiah. Two important things about the identity of our Lord that nobody can fake. You perhaps heard me illustrate this before. Anybody who said that they're Jesus, you just want to say, okay, just calm down. Can we do some blood tests? Quite likely they're going to say yes. Well, you can't be Jesus. Jesus shed his blood on Mount Calvary. So where you get blood from? You see how quick you expose that? The next thing is fingerprint. Can we do some fingerprints? And if you don't see no nail print, it's not Jesus. You see how easily you disqualify? Because the angel said, this same Jesus. Something about the angelic testimony. Angel appeared at his coming to announce his birth. Angel appeared at the resurrection scene. Men dressed in white apparel, sitting inside. I know Jesus is going back. And the angel said, you Galileans, why stand gazing? This same Jesus. He's going to return to our own visibility. We shall behold him. He's coming back. He's going to be seen as they saw him leaving. And we're going to look at that later on in the second chapter of Acts when we get down to it. But the birthday of the church. Church was born on the day of Pentecost. But there are so many things that we have missed, understood about Pentecost, that we have to go through it in the next at least few months. Because when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in with one accord in one place. We're going to be looking at that. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now normally we would just read over that. A sound from heaven. But you have to remember this. That sound means more than you would ever realize. Just a couple of days ago, some angel said, this same Jesus is coming back. And he was taken up into the heaven. Now the sound coming from heaven. So guess what they are thinking? Jesus is back. Yes, suddenly just the sound from that direction where Jesus went into heaven back home. The sound is coming from there. So they don't know it's not an earthly thing. And you're going to see how some of them are going to be surprised, because wind storms are common in those places. Not to mention earthquake. But the sound was not coming from down here. It is coming from the same direction that Jesus left from. So they are wondering if he's back already. Because they never really believed that he would be that long away. So they are really messed up mentally. They can't put it all together. And that's why the Spirit of God is going to raise up Peter. The untaught, among all the 12 disciples, Peter perhaps was the least when it comes to education. And you said, how do we know that? The style of his letter. Is the first and second Peter. You'll learn a lot from him regarding that. But anyway, the Spirit of God is going to raise up the unprepared fisherman to do something that he has never done before and he'll never do again. And that's why you have to pay attention to Peter in Acts chapter 2. And when Peter got up, Peter stood up with the 11. Pay close attention to that again. I'm going to bring it to your attention. Because people have this idea that at Pentecost, everybody was speaking. The text doesn't say nothing like that. The text doesn't imply that. In fact, everybody heard the message, but not everybody speaking. So when you walk into a Pentecostal church today and people, all different people saying, the New Testament doesn't know anything about that. It is the 11 men, Peter with the 11, who spoke in the unlearned messages. And I'm gonna show you, if you read it, you can observe it on your own. Because listen what Peter gonna say. We are not drunk as you suppose. You see that we is Peter and the 11. They are the ones who were speaking. They were addressing the other congregants or the men, because remember, it's a male festival, young men. So it's not everybody that was speaking, but everybody heard. And it's not true that they were confused. Very, very poor translation. In fact, I'll give you this as a little down payment of what is to come. The word also means to be stirred up. I was surprised that the NIV got it right. The NIV doesn't say that the people are confused. Why would you be confused if you hear the message? What confused you? Everybody heard the language and the message in their own language. That should bring clarity, not confusion. So what you would read there, and they were stirred up. Now you see that initial stirring up, motivated with all the things I told you happened in the past 50 days, huh? Death of the Passover lamb, the resurrection, Jesus appearing to some of them in person. Now the Spirit has arrived. That's enough to stir you up, not to confuse you. And being stirred up, guess what else we have as evidence? That's why some of the people sold their land. They were stirred up, motivated that God is doing something. That's the proper translation, if you ask me, and you can research it on your own. Not that they were confused. They were not confused. God is not the author of confusion. At the Tower of Babel, God confounded language. At Pentecost, he's going to unite this church. There will be no confusion when the Spirit comes. We have the exact opposite. For every man heard in their own language. We're going to be looking at that. What language, etc., etc. Okay? Let me stop there for the time. Do I have another bonus? Oh, I got to tell you this. I'm sorry. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, and what that really means. It's like when we used to have weekend conference here. The big day is Monday. That's the climax of the conference. Well, Pentecost had a climax too as well. And so when they're saying that the final day in the seven-day feast, that's the day the Spirit of God came down and united people. And Dr. Luke did a very good job in listing different nationalities of people. Most of them were Jew or proselyte, but they were born in foreign land and no longer spoke Hebrew. Got to understand that. It's like having those guys coming from Canada at the conference, and they would bring a French translator or interpreter. As every time they come, they would do that. But at this one, there was no need for any translation. The first time tongues used in the book of Acts is human language. That's what it says. How come we hear in our own language in which we were born? It's not that didn't need any ecstatic, no heavenly language. No, not at all. So God united them. And like I said, Dr. Luke lists a number of countries where proselytes and Jews came in from. Italy, a lot of European countries, Jews were already there. So when you hear people say that Jews are not from Europe, not true. It's not true at all. Many of them were scattered from 586 BC and went all over the world. Now they come back to the pilgrim feast. See why that word pilgrim is important? They are coming to attend the feast of Pentecost. That's when God galvanized and brought them together and broke the language barrier so every person heard in their own language. And they understood. That's another final thing I must bring to your attention before I go. Today, when people say they are speaking in tongues, they don't know what they're saying. You don't know what they're saying. But notice tongues. We heard in our own language, capture this, the wonderful works of God. Tongues has a message. And God makes you understand the message. It's never about the speaker. Tongues is a tool. God decoded the language. He coded it at Bethel. Here at the birthday of the church, God decoded. He untied it so every man heard in their own language and they understood. And the content is what amazed me. He's not talking about Benny Hinn. Not talking about Oral Roberts. Not talking about the person talking. The content is the wonderful works of God. Because God is wonderful. And his name shall be called Wonderful. So the content of the message must big up God. Bring him to the fore. Not the servant, not the carrier, not the speaker, but the content. And that's why later on you're going to read. One day 5,000 souls were added. Now you begin to talk about the wonderful works of God, you're going to have a wonderful harvest. Because God is at work among his people. And you're going to read all about the disciples multiplying and all that. It's coming up. This is just to whet your appetite. To get you excited. So you come on Tuesday. And you remember when you come Tuesday, sit in the front. Up front. Okay? I hope you got that. Because we're not going to be in person. So I don't want to mislead anybody. But I want you to sit down early. Father God, we thank you. How can we ever say sufficient thanks to you for the amazing work among the children of men in our hearts? Here at Good Tidings, we heard the testimonials. We offered a prayer for different departments of the church and the assemblies and ministry, young people setting up their camp. Thanks that you have not abandoned us. You're still doing wonderful things among us. And help us with the courage to tell other people about our wonderful God. That our God is a miracle working God. Thanks. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen.